The subject that I want to preach upon tonight is simply entitled The Poor Rich Man and the Rich Poor Man. And as I preach this message this evening, I want to base my remarks on Proverbs chapter 13 and the verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Down through the history of mankind, a man's standing or status in the community has always been judged by the world upon his riches and wealth, or the lack of his riches and wealth. In other words, if a man has money and land and great possessions, then he is looked upon as the upper class. On the other hand, if a man is poor, then that man is looked upon as the lower class. And this has always been the case as far as this world has been concerned. Now, I'm sure that you're aware that every year a list is produced and published of the world's richest people. Why is that? Because that is how the world judges a man. That's how the world judges a man's success. And if a man is successful in accumulating wealth and earthly riches, then the world judges him as a great man, as an accomplished man. But men and women, that is not how God judges men. God's definition of riches and the world's definition of riches are completely different, as we're going to find out tonight. God does not judge men in regards to their earthly wealth. Rather, God judges men on their spiritual wealth. God does not judge men upon how much they have of worldly riches. Rather, God judges men upon how much they have of heavenly riches. Therefore, in the eyes of God, you could have a rich man who is poor, and you could have a poor man who is rich. And that is what we learn, I believe, in our text for tonight. In Proverbs 13, verse 7, God draws our attention to the poor rich man and to the rich poor man. God shows us here clearly who is truly rich and who is truly poor. For a few moments tonight, I want to draw your attention to these two men described in our text in Proverbs 13, verse 7. And then at the end of our message, I want you to consider a third man. But we'll say more about that third man in a few moments' time. Now, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, I want you to listen very carefully, because I do believe that there's a message here especially for your heart. I pray that God will apply the message to your heart and soul, and even tonight that you will come and put your faith and trust in Christ and leave the meeting with all your sins forgiven on your way to heaven. First of all, let us consider the poor rich man. Look what it says at the beginning of Proverbs 13, verse 7. Underline the words in your Bible. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Here God describes unsaved worldly men upon this earth as having nothing. Well, how can this be? How can the richest and wealthiest man in the world have nothing? How can rich men be poor men? Surely this is a contradiction. Well, it's not a contradiction. Very simply, rich men are poor men if they know not Christ as Savior. Wealthy men have nothing if they are not spiritually rich towards God. Rich men are poor men in the eyes of God if they are not saved men. Indeed, wealthy men who live on earth are bankrupt men if they have not laid up treasures in heaven. That's what God, I believe, is seeking to teach in this text of Scripture. Therefore, You could be the wealthiest man in the world tonight and be the poorest man. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. We live in an age when all men want to do is accumulate riches. But sad to say, these men never think about their soul's salvation. Turn over in the Bible for a moment to Matthew 6 verses 19 and 21. In this portion of scripture, consider what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he walked upon this earth. Matthew 6 verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And in Matthew 16, verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, and of course this will be a very familiar text to most of us. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The man who seeks to accumulate riches in this world and forgets about his soul's salvation is not only a fool, but he's a poor man. He's a bankrupt man. Spiritually, he is among the lower class. He's a beggar with nothing but rags on his back. The word nothing in Proverbs 13 verse 7 literally means not anything. In other words, this man that God is describing here has absolutely nothing when it comes to spiritual things. He does not possess one thing of worth. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. So poor is he that he is totally bankrupt in every way because he knows nothing of spiritual things. Now what a description of the sinner without Christ. My dear unsaved friend, do you realize that you have nothing to commend you to God this evening? You're poor and wretched and miserable and blind as far as your spiritual standing before God is concerned. And although you may have all the wealth of this world, in the eyes of Almighty God, you're nothing but a poor beggar. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. It's possible tonight for you to be a millionaire and yet have nothing. To be poor. That's what God is seeking here. Therefore, the Lord is emphasizing in this text of Scripture that the most valuable possession that you and I have is our souls. You could be rich, you could be popular, you could have all the worldly goods that this world has to offer, but if you're not saved then, in the eyes of God, you're a beggar. That's the truth that the Lord wants you to hear tonight from this pulpit. Now maybe you say to me, well preacher, I'm not rich and I have no wealth. And yet at the same time you're neglecting your soul's salvation. Oh my friend, you need to realize this evening that the most important possession that you have is your immortal soul. Because whether you're rich or poor, whatever you possess upon this scene of time, the day will come when you will leave it behind. We brought nothing into this world and we will bring nothing out of this world as far as material things are concerned. But whatever we own, whatever we have upon this scene of time, once the death angel comes, we will have to leave it behind us and go out and meet God. That's why it is imperative for you to be saved by the grace of God. Those who leave God out of their lives and Christ out of their hearts are poor men, no matter what they own upon this scene of time. Now, there are many young people here tonight, and there are those among the young who are not saved, and you're planning your life, and there's nothing wrong with planning your life. And perhaps you're planning what you're going to work at. You're planning your future. And in that future, you want to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. But the problem is this, that the majority of unsaved people, indeed all unsaved people, they want prosperity, but they don't want the Lord in their lives. Maybe the Lord will bless you with riches. Maybe you will become famous. Maybe you will become wealthy. But my friend, if your soul is not ready for heaven, then you have nothing. And that's what I believe the text here is seeking to teach. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And my prayer tonight is this, that the Lord will speak to your heart and show you this evening that the most valuable possession that you have is your immortal soul. Because when you die, your body will be put into Mother Earth and it will rot away and congeal in the grave, but your soul will continue to exist. And of course, we know when we study the Bible, the soul will either continue to exist in God's heaven or God's hell. But for you, if you die, even if you die a rich man, your soul will be lost forever because you're a poor man. Because you know nothing of spiritual things and you know nothing of God's wonderful salvation. Oh, the poor rich man. My friend, never covet a rich man's wealth. Especially an unsaved rich man's wealth. Because you know, if you're saved tonight, then you have far more wealth than he has. I'm far more wealthier tonight than the millionaires in this world. That list I was telling you about, every year it's produced, the richest people in the world. My friend, I have more riches than they all put together because I have Christ. You see, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 7 again. Secondly, let us consider the rich poor man. It says, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. How can a poor man have great riches? This part of the text, I believe, is teaching that the richest men in the world are those who have Christ as their Savior. That's what the text, I believe, is teaching. And although they may be poor men as far as the wealth of this world is concerned, they are wealthy before God because their souls are ready for heaven. You see, the text is teaching where true wealth and riches are found. The text is teaching who has true wealth and true riches. The truth is, some of the richest men in this world tonight are poor men in the world's estimation. But in the eyes of God, they are the wealthiest of men because they are saved by the grace of God. God's salvation and God's redemption has made them rich in Christ. Poor men who have Christ and God's salvation are richer than rich men who have not Christ and God's salvation. That's what the text is teaching. The friend this evening, are you a poor rich man or are you a rich poor man? You know, this is illustrated wonderfully in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. And I know that we'll all be familiar with the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told in Luke chapter 16. In that portion of Scripture, the Savior tells the story of a poor man by the name of Lazarus. As far as worldly riches were concerned, he had nothing. But this poor man, because he knew Christ as Savior, was rich toward God. Thus, when he died, he went to be with the Lord. Indeed, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16 that he went into Abraham's bosom. And he went to the place of rest. And he went to the place of peace. Went into the presence of God. And of course, if you're familiar with the story, you'll know that in Luke 16, we are also told about a rich man who wasn't saved. And the Bible tells us in that portion of Scripture that when this rich man died, that he went to hell, because it says that he died and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. There we have an example of a poor rich man and a rich poor man. Oh my friend, the truth that I'm seeking to get across to you tonight, more importantly the truth that this text of Scripture is seeking to get across to you this evening, is this: that the most important possession that we have is our soul. And our souls need to be saved. I wonder tonight, are you rich towards God? In land or store I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasure in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you have more riches than all the wealthiest men in this world. Because Christ is a treasure that is beyond compare. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus and his redemption as hid treasure. Christ is described by Peter in his epistle as a precious chief cornerstone. The Lord Jesus is described as the pearl of great price. My friend, do you know anything about this hid treasure? Is this precious chief cornerstone your Savior? Have you received the pearl of great price? If you have, then you are rich. You have a wealth that is beyond compare. My prayer for everyone here in this service tonight who's unsaved is that they will come and receive the riches of heaven. That you will come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then, my friend, you will leave God's house tonight a wealthy man. I'm a wealthy man tonight. I'm a rich man tonight. Not because I possess the wealth of this world, but because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, because he has given me eternal life, and praise God, he has prepared for me a mansion in heaven. I'm going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. Oh, young man, young woman, older person, don't spend your life accumulating wealth to the neglect of your soul's salvation. I'd rather be a Lazarus and end up in heaven than be a rich man and end up in hell. You say to me tonight, does the Son of God really love me? Can Christ truly save me and give me heavenly riches? Yes. You say to me, how is it possible? Well, it is possible because of what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Turn over with me for a moment, and it's important that you turn to this reference, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 9. You see, thirdly, I want you to notice not only the poor rich man and the rich poor man, that's what we have in Proverbs 13 verse 7, but in this text, in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, we see the rich man that became poor to make all men rich. This text, of course, is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Isn't that a tremendous text of Scripture? In other words, for Christ to save men and women from their sins, he had to leave the riches and glories of heaven and come down into this sinful world and die upon a cross. The Son of God became poor so that he might make us rich. Here we have the wonderful plan of God's redemption. The Bible tells us that we are sinners, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Heading to hell because of that sin. Lost, poor, miserable, wretch, sinners we are. And yet the truth is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from the glory and riches of heaven, became poor, took upon himself the form of a servant, lived a lowly life in poverty, and then went to the cross. And there upon Golgotha's middle tree, he shed his precious blood in order to redeem us from hell and provide eternal salvation for us. Thank God, because of that redemption, because he cried, "It is finished." And when he cried, "It is finished," man's redemption was completed once and for all. Thank God, because of that redemption, you and I can be taken out of our poverty. And we can become rich in Christ. That's why you tonight can become a rich man, a rich woman, a rich young person. Spiritually, we're speaking about Christ, the King of Heaven, took upon himself the form of a servant, as I have said. He humbled himself and became obedient and died upon Calvary's middle tree. Therefore, through his poverty, sinners can be rich for all eternity and live in heaven for all eternity. Oh, my friend, I am rich tonight because Christ became poor. That's what the text is teaching in 2 Corinthians. Christ gave up everything so that poor, guilty sinners could be rich and enter into the riches of glory. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful redemption. Oh, come with me. Visit Calvary where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full. 'Tis deep. 'Tis wide. Very soon, after this meeting is over, God's people will be gathering around the Lord's table, and we will be gathering around the Lord's table. What to do? To remember the death of the Lord Jesus and what he has accomplished upon the cross for us, hell guilty sinners. And we remember his death because he commanded, "Do this in remembrance of me." Oh, child of God, it will be a special time, because when we partake of the bread and when we partake of the cup, we will remember what the Savior did for us. And we will remember that we are now rich men and women spiritually because Christ became a poor man in order to make us rich for all eternity. What a wonderful text of Scripture we have there in that portion of Scripture. "Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Young person tonight, older person without Christ, the Lord loves you. He doesn't love your sin. He wants you to repent of your sin, and he wants you to turn away from your sin. But thank God you can do that. The Lord will wash away your sins. And as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove them from you. He wants to save you tonight, but you've got to come and put your trust in him. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Thank God the work has been done, because the Son of God became poor so that you could become rich and have your sins forgiven. Listen, let me say it again. There's no greater riches than to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no greater wealth than to be a citizen of heaven and to be an heir of the kingdom of God. Would you not this evening turn from your sin and seek the Lord? Thank God tonight. The Lord can save you, and the Lord will save you. But you must come to him. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you come tonight? Because the Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Are you a rich, poor man? Or are you a poor, rich man? Do you know this rich man that became poor in order to make you rich? Oh, friend, if you don't know him personally tonight, then get to know him. Come tonight and meet him. And I'll tell you, he'll not be a disappointment. For he'll lift your burden, and he'll take away your sin, and he'll prepare your soul for heaven. And as you leave this gospel meeting tonight, you can have the assurance that you'll never be in hell. One of the greatest blessings of God's salvation is knowing that you're going to heaven and that you'll never be in hell. I can remember before I was saved, going to bed at night, afraid of sleep, because I knew that if I died in the middle of the night, that I'd be lost forever. But friend, that doesn't bother me anymore. I can go to bed knowing that if I die in the middle of the night, that it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know that because the Lord Jesus Christ has promised me everlasting life, and he has promised me that everlasting life on the basis of what he has accomplished for me on the cross. That's why I'm going to heaven. That's why I'll never be in hell. Because of the work of redemption. Because of the blood that was shed. Because of the price that was paid. Well, my friend, you can have this assurance as well. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. How we praise thee this evening for the riches that we have in Christ. O God, you've given unto us all the spiritual blessings in the Savior. Though there's nothing more that we want, there's nothing more that we need. Jesus has paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but his blood washes as white as snow. Oh, dear God, tonight, draw sinners to Christ, even this evening. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.